G'day Nova Castrians. We are back for the new season. We've had Dave working busily in the background doing a whole bunch of interviews with the opposition side of things, but we thought we'd get together and talk about Jets after we've sat down and had a nice little season launch lunch, meet and greet.
Meet and greet.
Meet and greet. Dave, the cook, how you going, mate?
Mate, the barbecue went down well. It was very nice and everyone brought something along. Joel, absolutely wonderful potato bake. Pete, rolls, Luke, snacks that we didn't eat.
I just brought a shorty boys, 24 rolls.
Hey, 24 rolls to shorty boys.
Dad joke for the year and he's out.
And Emma contributed with the Wayne Brown brownies.
Wayne brownies.
You've stuffed the joke up already.
Can we start this again?
Yes. No, it's all content. It's all content.
Anyway, yeah, so back into the season now.
So how's, Joel, how's your off-season been, mate, with World Cup and all the stuff behind the scenes of Inspirations Paint, signed on for another 2 years as a major sponsor, 3 years as a major sponsor. Congratulations, by the way, and it's great to have you involved and great to have you involved with us.
Yeah, thanks, man. The three-year extension was awesome and the club have been really cool. And the World Cup was great, but off-season sucks. I hate off-season so much. I can't wait for, what is it, next week, a week today. So, yeah, longest off-season, so stupid. And also, I'm just going to throw in there that I wish the FFA Cup was brought forward and actually, you know, went on from its August momentum into September and then had a final before October even started, but that's my little bugbear.
Pete, sitting there with your headphone and your little Britney mic going on. How's your off season been?
Pretty quiet actually. the rugby league was rugby league, and into the soccer we go.
And thank God it's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we all look forward to when the egg ball finishes and the round ball, the proper season starts.
Oh, thank God that shit's over.
Can't agree more. Em, how's your off season been? You've obviously been busy at work and doing all sorts of stuff, but what have you been getting up to in the off season while you've been waiting for the football to come around again?
I've been doing a lot of sciencing, but I've also been planning new designs for my nails for the coming season, so that I've got a kind of a plan as to what designs I'm going to use each home game, rather than having to come up with it the night before in a bit of a rush. After Joel was very mean to me from my very messy ones last year, I've realised I need to up my game
critiqued.
Just a little bit.
You've been critiqued. Well, look, you've got the claim to fame this year, this off season, of being the only person represented in cartoon form. How did that come about? And that, can I say that was awesome, by the way, when that got posted. Cartoon Emma was great.
If you've got kids, go on ABC iView and go on search Imagine This. It's a cartoon about science for kids, and yeah, I'm an animated kangaroo, and it's kind of cool. I was just disappointed they did not put the color in the kangaroo hair.
Ah, well that. Yeah, that could have worked.
I think we need to make that as the album artwork for this episode.
That's very true. That could, yes, I'm going to have to search that out and make that for the album artwork for the episode. That's a good point, Dave. All right, Dave, so obviously we've had the off-season extra long this season because of the now finally observing international breaks. So we're not starting when all these other overseas competitions, and Wellington won't lose three quarters of their squad, and the Jets will, now that we've actually got players that are actually good enough to represent in the Socceroos, we won't be losing them. That's a good thing, but yeah, it does make the off-season that little bit longer.
Yeah, but it's for the right reasons, I think, as well. It's also given us a bit of clean air, I'd call it, and I think that's what Greg O'Rourke called it on the podcast that I heard as well, for allow us to get advertising out there. The advertising, I think,
which has that started yet? Because it's been very clean air. I've not seen, it's not been much A-League promotion going on apart from a little bit of Fox Sports.
The Heroes are made one. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that launched. That was a Jets one though. That's
there's an A-League one. It's beautiful.
Okay. Amy Duggan and Tim Cale lead the A-League's advertisement this year, where they're looking to create heroes, and they open that up. And the final video, I think it's about 9 minutes long, came out the other day and had interviews with each and every team's heroes. And Stimmy Petratos for the Jets, and he talks about the dressing sheds and the emotion of being in there and the strength of the club. And it really is. It's a club, if we look back a couple of years, even when we started this podcast, that's completely changed. But Yeah, it's a bit of clean air, but mate, after seeing the Jets video the other day, I'm absolutely pumped. Absolutely pumped for this season.
Well, Joel, as the marketing guru in the room, what's your opinion of the Mate of Newcastle ad promotion? That's obviously, by the time this comes out, we're talking to you on, we're recording this on the weekend, but this is going to be released midweek, so there'll be a bunch more social media and TV and radio ads being done in the lead up to the season kicking off on Saturday. But what, as a marketing side of things, that's something we haven't seen done on a hugely professional level from the Jets in seasons past. It's really good to see them ramping that side of things up and doing the off-the-field promotion a lot better.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The point here is it's so, so hard to make a good TV ad. Even if you have a $500,000 or $1 million budget, you'll get it wrong most of the time, I know from experience. It's really, really hard. And for a club that has zero budget, to do this and to execute it so well, and with a next to none budget from what they tell me, and to have the fans almost universally love it, to have opposition fans loving it, to have people for calling for it to be the promo for the entire A-League, to have Borussia Dortmund, when Ernie was Laurie was over there last week, showing it to them and them saying, "We're a coal town and a steel town, that would be perfect for us." Just ringing endorsements from everyone. So hats off to them, because I just know how hard it is, especially on a budget. They've done a cracking job.
Yeah, Pete, that's been the thing that's been amazing about that. It's only been out for a couple of days, and the universal credit that's been happening on social media for it from opposition fans as well as our own, it's been, like Joel said, it's been amazing. And that could be, you know, from what people are saying, 54,000 views across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Wow, so that's huge. Then 3 days, that's a really big reach and a really big impact.
Yeah, definitely. And as you said, it's been great to see so many fans from other clubs. I've seen Melbourne fans, Central Coast fans, people from overseas just going, "This is incredible. You know, let's get behind this kind of thing." It's great to see. And for me, from a filmmaking perspective, with me dabbling in film in the past, it's an incredibly put together ad. It is beautifully shot. It is, yeah, the locations, the lighting, everything is so damn schmick. It's more than just the emotion behind it. It is actually a piece of art, in my opinion. And, you know, for me, they've built on what the Knights have been trying to do for years with this, you know, "We are Newcastle, you know, we're made from Newcastle." They've taken that to a whole nother level, and they've done that on next to nothing, as opposed to the Knights, who have been, you know, sinking a lot of money into it over the years. So, yeah, kudos to the club.
I don't know if the listeners can hear it in his voice, but I think Peter's getting a little bit emotional about this.
Just a little bit.
There's a tear in the eye.
I can certainly agree with that. All right, Luke, we'll get to the squad side of things, and it's been an off season of basically stability. Nothing. Let's knock on wood before we jinx ourselves. Nothing major's happened with the lead up to the season, and it's been, we've only had to sign four new players. All the other players have been re-signed. We've had good news over the last couple of weeks with Dimi re-signing, Hoff, Boogs, Stevie Ugi. It's been a really stable off-season for once.
It has, and I think we had something similar to this last year, and we were all saying, "This is going too well. When is it all going to crumble?" And we're still thinking.
Joey broke his foot, though. That's our thing. We're okay.
Yeah, Joey broke his foot, and, you know, we're still sitting here like, you know, we've got cover now. We've got the players that can step up and cover him until he's back, whenever he is, whether that be before Christmas or after the new year. It's nice to sort of, I guess, have that stability where you're not, every year you're not thinking, "Oh man, what's going to go wrong this year," sort of thing. So I guess probably the one thing is, once the season does start, as long as we can keep on top of the injuries and we don't have people out for prolonged periods again, then, you know, that'll go well for us.
And how important was it for the club to be able to try and go better than what we did last season, to be able to re-sign the majority of that, almost the entire starting 11 from the grand final, to long-term contracts? So even if we do lose them, we're not going to lose them for nothing. We've got them built. We've got contracts, long-term contracts. So Dimi looks like he's probably going to be the first one to go. If he has another season like last season, we're going to get remunerated for that. But obviously we want him to keep him around for as long as possible. But how important is it that the club is basically taking the initiative and re-signed a great deal of the core people from that squad from last season?
I think you're right. I think earlier in the off-season, the club was copping a little bit of flack as other teams announced their new big names. And people were asking, when are our big names coming? But I think what really has been the key to our squad building in the off-season is exactly what you said, retaining those key players. And even if we do lose Dimi, we're going to lose Dimi because he plays well. And if he plays well while he's still here, I don't think anyone will bear him a grudge to go somewhere else. You know, as everyone was, you know, we missed Andy Naboot when he left, but he's still, you know, the town is still proud of him and he's still one of us, I guess. So, yeah, I think keeping those players locked in is super important. And the chemistry that they had as a team last year, I kept saying last year that we don't necessarily have the best players, but we have the best team. And I think if you can keep that team mentality moving into this season with a few key additions, which I think we have done nicely, I think that's going to play out quite well.
And I think that's a key point, that everyone knows the game plan. We're not using a lot of our off-season for a coach to explain their ideas, their concepts, to bring everyone up to speed with it. Sure, look, Redenton is going to be one of those players that he's got to. The role that Mitch Austin plays, Kane Shepherd as well, and Jair as well, bringing him physically up to speed as well as up to the way that we play. But the spine of our team remains intact, and that's really important. If you look at Sydney are going to probably play a similar style. Talking to Blake from Sky Blue Views, but Central Coast, Wellington, Perth, Western Sydney Wanderers, they've all got new coaches in that are all going to want to implement their own style, and I don't think that can be underestimated.
Joel, the other not just from a technical standpoint of these senior players on the park, it's their experience and their leadership, which has obviously been a real issue that the Jets have had in previous seasons, you know, trying to run the budget on the smell of an oily rag, having a lot of younger players in there and only one or two experienced players dotted through it. This team is battle-hardened now, and these senior players don't have to explain to these younger players what the end game is. They've been there. They've seen it. All we need to do now is keep their mind on the job and be able to drive themselves to that to that next step and try and go one better than we did last year, push closer to whoever is in that Premier's plate race, try and get to the grand final again and maybe go one better. But it's the re-signing of all these experienced players and keeping the younger players who have now got that experience, keeping them in the club is obviously key for where we're going to go this season.
Yeah, I think you're right. Topper, Bogues, Hoff, you know, even though Canners Young has been there the longest, Georgievski, they're all leaders. They're all, you know, 29 to 31, 32. And as we were saying before, they've got this overwhelming confidence and belief from having all the success, over 50 points, 57 goals, conceding the second fewest goals. So there's all this confidence and belief that we don't have to try and build that up. It's already there. So that's pretty fantastic. But the other thing is that they like each other. So and they're not, no one's slacking off. Speaking to Chris Smith, the strength and conditioning trainer, and he said he speaks to the other trainers, and some of them say, oh, I've got so-and-so, or I've got so-and-so that doesn't like to do a double session or pushes back or gives grief. And he said not one of our 23 do that. They all go hard at training. They're a tight-knit group. They genuinely like each other, and they've got each other's back, and that's what building a winning team is all about. So just can't wait.
Luke, the only sort of two clouds we've got at the moment are obviously Joey Champness with the injury. Looks like he's probably going to be out until January. And obviously we're going to be missing Roy for 8 games, I think, is what's remaining on his suspension. So it's going to be important that the squad are going to be able to fill in for those players missing, but those players that are going to make their return are going to be needing to push themselves that little bit further to get themselves back into a squad that hopefully by the time they're ready to come back is going to be up near the top of the table.
We said that a lot last year, that when there was a player that got injured, that them coming back from injury wasn't necessarily meaning they were going straight into the squad. We just had that much depth and everyone was performing consistently and well week in, week out. So if we get back to probably Christmas time, January, when Roy's suspension's over and Joey's coming back in, you know, if Jair or Kane Shepherd, who from what I've heard from some of the players there, he's incredible, something that we sort of haven't had at the club, talent-wise, up front for a long time. So it might be hard for them to come back in, which is a good problem to have. But, you know, we need them to be able and, like, training from now, well, from pre-season, but continually until they return, in case we do need them, like, first week back.
And the other thing, Emma, as well, is we've not just got an A-League campaign to contend with, we've now also got Champions League, which is where we're going to need the entire squad. So it's good that we've now got the depth. And you alluded to it before, the players that we brought in to replace the players we've lost, when none of them are a downgrade from what I can see. And we've signed, just running through them, Kane Shepherd from Avondale. We've signed Mitch Austin from Melbourne Victory. Lewis Italiano will be a backup. He's used to that because he was backup for Clem Moss at Wellington Phoenix last season, I think it was. And where else we... Oh, yeah, and Jair. So how happy are you with the players that we brought in, and do you think that they're going to be at the required level to make sure that we're able to maintain a push on two fronts and not just the one we had last season?
Yeah, I guess that squad depth does become more important. I think I'm definitely happy with Lewis Italiano. I think as a keeper and as a keeper pairing with Moss, I think we had the two most closely matched keepers in the A-League last year, and I think that's almost a bit of a waste. I mean, it's great in terms of, you know, when something does go wrong, but it's almost a little bit of a waste in terms of what they can teach each other and give each other and the differential in pay scales and those kinds of things. So I think that's a good signing. I think that the rest of the field players probably all signal the attacking intent in terms of who we've brought in. They're all people who are going to, in whatever role they play, be part of scoring goals. I think Mitch Austin's going to make a great addition to the team in terms of depth as a bench player. I think he's a good signing, and I really look forward to seeing what Jair can do as part of our team. He to me is the one wild card. He looks... You know, seeing him individually perform in training and things and his highlights reel and stuff, he looks great. But seeing how he fits in with the team is the one big question for me still.
What about you, Dave? What are you thinking of Brito Jaya?
Brito Jaya.
Well, that's what his name was listed down on the little team sheet that Ernie had with him when I was interviewing him on last week. Brito Jaya. So I don't know whether that's going to be the name on the back of his jersey, but that's what they're referring to him as.
Yeah, look, unknown quantity for me. Everyone could look good on a highlights reel. Jorge Trevundy certainly did, going back a fair while. He's still got some time that he's got to catch up, I think. He came in late. He's one of the last additions to the squad. And yeah, look, Mitch Austin was announced after, and so was Kane Shepherd, but they were actually in and around the team training to the level and the intensity that the team were as well. So he's got a lot of pressure on him, though, as well. I think it was Emma was talking about Roy's suspension, 8 games. Joe Champness is out as well. We are going to need goals from somewhere, and he is a player who is going to have that responsibility, I expect.
Joel, the good thing about it, though, with the players that we've signed and the flexibility that we have, we if the focal point doesn't, if having a player as a focal point doesn't work, we have players across that attacking front third and even behind that are going to be able to chip in as they did last season. I'm thinking that this season, especially with Roy being out for the first eight games, we're going to see Hoffey up front as the striker, but he's not going to be the point man. I think it's going to be, as we were playing, a front three, and that was something that Ernie mentioned in the interview that I had with him. He was looking for the players that he signed and the way he plays the team. It's not all around a point man. It's about all the attacking players having flexibility, and our wingers are our fullbacks, not players that we're playing in a forward position on the wings. So it gives us a lot more attacking thrust.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ernie talks about having nine goal-scoring, you know, players in the team, and you're right, I think the front four are really fluid. The thing I'm most excited about this season is actually a season with Ronnie Vargas fully fit for 27 games.
You actually stole my next question.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm just so excited about that because I think, you know, Vargas is the Rolls Royce. We know he's so silky. And when you've got these players like Hoffman and Champness and Dimi on the wings, cutting in, you know, getting in behind, doing great crosses, and Kane Shepherd, as you talked about, the speed of Mitch Austin. You know, it's a tantalising prospect. But, yeah, I can't wait to see Vargas score his first goal in a proper match for us. And hopefully quite a few more than one.
Well, Luke, since though Joel preempted my question on Ronnie, we'll flick to talking about the midfield. The other thing that came across in the chat with Ernie was he's very excited about having Rod Denton in the squad, and that gives us a lot more depth in that central midfield area with obviously the big unsung hero of Lutt. Well, I don't know if you could really call him unsung anymore. I think most people recognise that Jugarkovic is the real part of the engine room in that midfield in the team. But having Rod Denton join the squad... Sorry, that's my phone. Having Rod Denton in the squad just gives us another option, another string to the bow. So if Cairn is out, which occasionally happens throughout the season, Jugarkovic has a drop in form, we've got somebody there who can go in, and he's of a really good level to slot in for those. Or he might even be pushing for a starting 11 spot. You don't know what Ernie's thoughts are with the first game of the season, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. And we said last year a fair bit with Jugarkovic and with Kantorovsky that all it would take is, you know, if one of them got injured or one of them went in a form rut, that's the partnership. The partnership's going well and everything. And if one of them's injured, then it's Wayne Brown. And at that point, he wasn't performing at all or anything. So Rye Denton, he was one of the highlights for Wellington the last couple of seasons. So him coming in, I think, will definitely an improvement. And it should be something that if Jugarkovic or if Kantorovsky is injured or is in a form rut, Rye Denton can come in and do the job just as well.
Em, how excited are you going to be to see Hoffey leading? Well, Hoffey up the front as opposed to being stuck in the fullback position. He's going. You think that with the, it sounds like Vojica is going to be pushing for a start, so we're going to have Georgeski and Vojica as our fullbacks. That means that we're going to be able to deploy Hoffey up front rather than having to have him in the fullback position. So, how happy are you going to be to have Hoffey up front, looking to score goals? And according to Scuttlebutt, rumours around the place, he's looking devastating, I think was the word somebody said, from unnamed sources. Hoffey is looking devastating in training and in pre-season.
Look, he doesn't have to do much to be devastating in my eyes, but I'm very excited. I think it's a pretty big ask, though, in terms of transitioning between positions. And it does leave him a little bit exposed in terms of where does he fit in the squad. So if he ends up in the front line while we're missing players, and then they come back, and where does he go? Can he get back into the back line? Do we want him to go back into the back line? Is he going to be a striker for the entire season, or just when we need him, like we had him last year? And that leaves him a little bit unstable, I guess, for his position in the squad. So I think he's one of the ones who will need to perform in the first half of the season to cement his current role in the front line, or he will risk with the back line we have getting squeezed out.
Just have a talk about his renaissance as a player who started really young at the Jets as a striker and was so horrendously shit in that position. He was released, went down to Hart, was played, I think, for maybe 3 or 4 months as a striker, and then they figured out the same thing we'd figured out. He wasn't a very good striker, so he was played in it as a right back. And he's come back to the Jets, and now he's absolutely killing it as either a right back or as a forward.
Everyone is so mean to Hoffie. He wasn't bad. He was just inexperienced. I think there's a lot of players who would have been in the exact same position in that time. I think what it demonstrates is versatility and that it really is a natural footballing skill, that he can transition those skills between the different roles. I think it reflects well on him that he has been able to make that change. And I guess maturing as a football player, he brings more to the team just than his time on the field now. And I think that's a really important part of having him as part of this team.
And as a local as well. Dave, the other major part is obviously Boogs and Topo Stanley in that defence. A year older, a year on, are we thinking that they're going to be able to do the business again for one more season, or are we going to have to start looking at bringing in players like Lachlan Jackson and Johnny Katrumbas to maybe spread the load around a little bit? So, because obviously, like we mentioned, there's going to be an Asian Champions League campaign as well. They're not getting any younger. Are we going to have to maybe manage that side of things a little bit more this season than we had to last season?
Yeah, I think we probably see the integration of Lachlan Jackson into the team more as the gradual changing of the guard, for want of a better term. And I think Johnny Katrumbas is actually going to continue getting a run in the team, maybe not in the centre position, centre back position where he originally came in and excelled for us, but I think that he will continue in that right back position. And I mean, look, let's talk about Liverpool for a sec. We've seen how we've seen the impact that Joe Gomez has had for them, playing on at right back, being very competent and performing well, and that shift to centre back has done him the world of good this year. I mean, they've done that with other players like Jamie Carragher in the past as well, and perhaps that's what we've got in mind. We've signed Bugard for an additional year. This is the last year of Topol Stanley's contract. I think that Lachlan Jackson will start. I expect that he will be starting by the end of the year. If he's not. This is his last year of the contract as well. There will be a decision the Jets have to make whether they re-sign Topol Stanley, re-sign Lachlan Jackson, or whether Lachlan Jackson looks to pursue a career elsewhere, or they both part companies with both. Well, they part companies with both players and look to bring in another centre back to partner Nigel Bugard. That could be Johnny Katrumbas.
Joel, we don't need to really run through the other teams in the league specifically, because obviously Dave's already done that with a number of 25-minute episodes on each team, and fantastic work that's been listening to all those over the last week.
Well, most of them, those that would talk to me anyway.
Yeah, we're still
looking at you, Central Coast Mariners.
We're still trying to line up someone for the Central Coast, but we'll get to that hopefully before the game kicks off next weekend.
They didn't pay their phone bill.
Apparently not. The internet's too slow. Joel, who are you seeing as the big who are going to be the big challenges for both the Premiership and the Championship this season? Are you expecting that maybe we haven't done enough to match the strengthening some of the other teams have done, or do you think that we're at such a strong point already we didn't really need to do too much to take us up another level? But we're going to be there and thereabouts, or are we slightly lower than where some of the other teams are now because of the recruitment that they've done?
I think on paper there's some other teams that look like they are above us or should be above us, specifically Melbourne City. I went to the game at Amy Park for the FFA Cup game where they knocked us out convincingly, and they looked terrifying in attack with the combination of Fornaroli, McGree and Dario Vidicic, just you know, bombing forward, getting in behind really fast. And, you know, Topper and Nige aren't the fastest centre-back pairing. And so, yeah, City is looking red hot. Perth on paper should be winning the double, as far as I'm concerned, with what Popper's building over there. But then they've got their own distance challenges and all that kind of stuff. So, look, I think we'll hold our own. Like I said before, we've got the confidence from last season. We don't have to second guess ourselves as to can we do it, because we've proven we can do it, and we've got the same team, so there should be no doubting.
So Joel's danger team's Melbourne City. What about you, Pete?
Surely the Central Coast with Usain Bolt's going to be a threat.
I was waiting for the dig. We got it in second. That's away. Yep.
I think Adelaide could be a big threat. They're shaping up pretty nice. And Melbourne City going to be coming back strong again. So that's where I'm looking at.
Luke?
I reckon Adelaide. I think we were discussing earlier over lunch, the one thing that they've probably lacking is a potent striker. They've got Baba Diawara, but he's got his own injury issues. They've got George Blackwood, who popped up with a few goals last year, but otherwise, yeah, can he do it consistently? Can Diawara do it consistently when he comes back? But they've recruited well. They've got Craig Goodwin. He's returned. I think they're probably the ones to beat, and, you know, probably going to win the FFA Cup in a few weeks' time.
I think City and Sydney have both been splashing the cash in terms of looking for the big signings. But I'm going to say that it's probably going to backfire on Sydney this year. I don't see them having the same cohesion in their squad that they had last year with their new signings. But yeah, I think City have made some very good acquisitions in the off season, and they are clearly playing well as a team already. So I think they're definitely going to be the ones to watch.
My thing with City is I'm not sure how they're going to go when they don't have Fornaroli missing, because unless he's there the entire time, they do tend to struggle. I don't know if the players they've got underneath him to replace when he goes out are going to be good enough, but time will tell. My big pick, I think, is Perth Glory. Just with having Popper there, he's a really strong coach. He's recruited really well. Sydney, obviously, Steve Corica, it's his first season. Unless he hits the ground running and has a whole bunch of luck go his way, I don't know how well they can go. They've lost a lot of key players.
Here's to hoping.
Yeah, well, here's to hoping. Victory were obviously way off the pace last season. They've strengthened quite a bit, but again, is it too much of the same from Melbourne Victory? Are they going to be able to raise themselves? I mean, they were very lucky to win a grand final last year, and from, I think, was it fifth or sixth place? But yes. And when we can get Dave back in here, who seems to have snuck out and looking at something inappropriate on his computer. Dave, you've obviously spoken to all of the opposition fans or the opposition podcasts in preparation
for the
season.
Except for the Mariners, they don't
have any
fans.
And we're at this point, we are still to talk to the Phoenix guys, but we will be talking to them. Who are you seeing as the big challenges this season? Like I said, I just mentioned a couple of teams there. My pick, I think, is Perth Glory. Most of the guys have picked Adelaide and City. Sydney, obviously, again, Fornaroli is a big focal point for them. Have they got the depth under him? And Melbourne Victory is bringing in Honda enough. Who are you seeing as the big challenges for the title this season?
City and Perth, for me, they're the two teams that I think will perform really well. Perth under Popper are a different proposition. I think this year they've got a more balanced squad than what the others do. They've got more depth and the quality that they've brought in as well. So I'm aligned with that. It's interesting listening across the fans that they're all thinking Melbourne Victory are the team to beat. Sydney FC are the teams to beat. Personally, I'm just not seeing. I think that Sydney will be very. It's going to be a tough year for Steve Corica. It's going to be a very tough year. If he can pull them together, he can do really well. Then they probably will. They'll probably make the finals. But
I mean, just looking at their outs: Bobo, Mezajewski, Boyce, Wilshere, and the twin towers of Matt Simon and David Carney. I mean, how are they going to replace those players?
Can you replace those players?
I don't
know
if you can replace those players.
I don't know. But
two blocks of cement and a wet noodle? I don't know.
I don't know.
There's your podcast title.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so everyone is very unanimous that Sydney and Melbourne are the teams to beat. Adelaide are quietly confident. Perth are quietly confident, but... Now, Perth are pretty similar to us. That, you know, they notoriously know that at some point they're going to drop off the end of a cliff. Mm. Might not happen this year, but yeah, that, for me, it's City and it's Perth.
What about the ones that no one's mentioned at all amongst all of us? Is Brisbane? I'm just about to start listening to their podcast episode that we did, but. Obviously, they were derided as the retirement home last season. They've gotten rid of a lot of those older players and brought in some really good players, including Adam Taggart from Perth Glory. So, but it doesn't really seem that many people are rating them to finish
Brisbane,
there and thereabouts.
Brisbane are us of a few years ago, though. They're unstable. They've got unstable financial backing. They've got unstable or... Yeah, potential instability in, you know, the foundations of the club. So they're us of a few years ago. So, yeah, I don't rate them this season because of that.
What about you, Joel? I notice you scrutinising the form guide very closely.
Yeah, I'm with Emma. I don't think the Roar are going to fire this year. Their ins, apart from Taggart, aren't that impressive. Mostly just recycled A-League players, Stephen Mork, etc. But, yeah, and they're... They're paying 13-1 for the win, whereas the Jets are at, I think, 8.
Perth Glory 9.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I think Brisbane are gonna struggle. They're going to really struggle to even make the finals this year.
All right. So the FFA Cup final is Sydney FC versus Adelaide. Luke, that game is a couple of weeks.
I think it's October 30th.
Okay. Who are you thinking is... That's obviously going to be a big indicator as to what team is probably going to be up there more than the others. Or do you see that the FFA Cup's not really an indicator of how well you're going through the season?
Last year. I think you got to treat it completely separate. You know, one of the teams could have had... I know they've both played A-League opposition throughout and everything, but you can get a good run and make it all the way through, as we saw with the Mariners the first year, where I think they copped three or four member-fed teams before they got knocked out in the semi-final. So I don't think you can really treat it as this is what we're expecting from the season. I think you just see it completely separately. I think Adelaide's going to win, though. They've got the home crowd. They want revenge on losing the FFA Cup final last year. I think the way they're sort of going at the moment, and they performed well even without Craig Goodwin, who had a virus in the semi-final. So I think if we're talking FFA Cup, I think they're going to pop Sydney for this one.
All right. Switch focus back to the Jets. What are you... hoping for from this season? Are you hoping for us to push, basically have a similar season to last season, but maybe run closer to the Premier's plate? Obviously, we're a fair way off Sydney FC last year. We got to a grand final but lost. What are you expecting for, what are you hoping from for this season?
You can hate me, but goals. I'm hoping for goals. But I don't say that in the cheeky way I normally say it. I want us to have high-scoring games this year. I don't want us just to be scraping through with a lucky goal or, you know, just getting a draw or just getting ahead. I want lots of goals, and I think it's one of those things, once they find their momentum, they'll be you know, kind of unstoppable. So we need to find the goals early and often, and just keep that up. And, you know, then it doesn't matter quite as much how many you let in. But yeah, I think a few clean sheets would be nice, but I just, yeah, we need the goals. We need the goal scoring early and often.
What about you, Dave? We're a team that last year seemed to play very well on momentum and emotion. Are we going to be able to keep that up again for another full season, or do you think that do we need to start well to capitalize on new coaches and new additions to squads in other teams? So get out the front as early as you can, and then try and keep a march or keep ahead of the pack as much as you can. And then if a downturn happens once the Champions League stuff kicks in, we've got a bit of a buffer there, and or are we just hoping to be there and thereabouts?
No, I think you're right. We need to get as many of our points on the board before we get into the ACL qualifications, because we will be playing more games than even those. If we do make it, we'll be playing maybe four additional games than all of our other rivals. We've got a very tough start. I think we were talking before that we've got two home games in our first six. So that's really, really tough, really important. But one thing we've also got to overcome is the Ernie Merrick factor. We've always backed up seasons where we've performed really poorly by performing really poorly again. We've never really backed up, probably season two and season three is the only time we've backed up a really good season. With a good season. Yeah. So, and Ernie Merrick has the reputation of having one good season, one bad season, one good season during his time with the Knicks, especially with the victory as well. So I think he'll be keen to put that theory, that to bed.
Personally, I don't know whether Ernie really cares about that sort of thing, Joel, but I think he's certainly struck me as being very confident, settled, and bullish when we spoke to him about the prospects for the season. So he's not taking anything lightly or any of those sorts of black clouds into consideration. He's just looking to take what we did last season and build on it and try and make it the norm rather than just a flash in the pan. He wants that to be the standard, not an aberration, wants to be more of a Manchester United, if you like, rather than a Leicester City.
Yeah, I've heard it said about him that he actually doesn't care about the opposition and what they're doing. He wants to know how they're lining up and whatnot, but he's just all about what we're doing and being really attacking mindset and scoring lots and lots of goals. So, yeah, don't think he cares too much about everyone else, but definitely want to see him back it up. I want to be premiers this year. You know, I think we should definitely be aiming to be premiers because and winning the championship is really nice, but if you're the premier, you've been the best team of the year, basically, and Sydney have done that twice and in a row, and we just, you know, I think it's our time to show that we can have that consistency. You remember last season we started by winning every game when we went down a goal first, which... You know, I'm okay with that. I'm not sure my nerves are, but, you know. Yeah.
Can we not do that again, please?
Can we not do that? Because that was stressful. But it was convincing in the end, kind of. But, yeah, as Emma said, score more goals, score them early, and aim for the premiership.
All right. So we're going to go round the room. Premiers, champions, and where are the Jets going to finish?
First with the plate.
Oh, so all three. Okay. Luke?
I'll say fourth with Adelaide first and champions.
Us champions or Adelaide champions?
Adelaide.
Adelaide doing both.
Yeah.
The double. Okay. Em?
I'm going to put us third. I'm going to put City as premiers. And I'm going to go out of the box and put Perth as champions.
Dave?
I'm going to go very similar to Emma. I'm going to say us third. I'm going to say Perth as the premiers, and the grand final winners will be Melbourne City.
Basically, you and I just picked exactly the same thing. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Great minds, mate.
Joel?
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic and say Jets premiers, and I think City champions. Are we losing it at the grand final? Possibly, but I just really want the club's had the championship once, but it's never had the premiership, so I'm really keen on winning the plate.
I'd like to go for the premiership. I think possibly not this season. I think it's a slow build. I think it's something we can probably look to do next season, so long as we can keep a lot of the players together and build on it. But, yeah, I think if we make the grand final this season, we go ahead and win it. But it's the final series is a lottery. It's you just don't know. It's whoever gets the momentum going into the final. Well, and I mean, we didn't even have any momentum going into the finals, but we still managed to go all the way through and lost. So
you're saying it's variable.
Did you not miss when he tried that joke before?
I think I was trying to set up Command and Conquer for Ed.
Okay.
But can I just say, despite all the predictions, I think we could do either of them.
Mm.
And I, you know, it's there's lots of variables that go into.
There's a lot of luck
to this, and you know, picking who I think will win isn't who I think should win or who I want to win. And anything can happen. It's a long season, and you know, sometimes the stars will align, and sometimes the stars will completely screw you. And you know, we do need to be optimistic, and I do think we have the best chance that we've had in a long time. But you know, whether or not that comes off is another story.
What would we see as a minimum for the season? Would finishing anywhere below fourth be a disappointment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even with the strength of the other teams?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because I feel like this season, the entire league is stronger, especially those top six teams. But with a strong Perth and a strong Adelaide, and the Melbourne and Sydney teams usually always strong, us being strong, all of a sudden there's seven strong teams. So the whole league should lift. But regardless of that, yeah, I think the club would see anything less than fourth as not an abject failure, but as a disappointment.
For me, as long as we make the finals, because once you get to the finals, anything can happen. And, you know, like you said, it is a bit of a lottery. It is a bit of a unique kind of final series structure. So I think as long as we make the finals, anything can happen.
I actually think that there's probably eight teams that will be really vying for those top six positions. Central Coast are a complete unknown quantity. They'll be looking to get out the blocks really quick.
Looking to bolt up the leg.
Welcome to the conversation, Joel. The ones for me that are...
Yeah, he didn't say it was good.
Anyway, the team for me that have really struggled this year are Wellington. I think they are a clear... Look, everyone is... You can't underestimate them.
First time coach.
Really, they're still trying to fill their squad to the minimum level. It's going to be a very tough season for them.
I think they're definitely stronger than they were last season. And
it's
I think,
not hard to be stronger than they were last season.
They
were lucky not to finish last.
They didn't finish last thanks to the last day. But yeah, I think. Yeah, I think,
I think I figured out why the Mariners don't want to talk to us.
Dave, do you want to get that form thing back so I can have a look at the Wellington Phoenix side of things? Because
I think they're at $34 to win.
That pretty much dovetails into a discussion about, we might as well quickly talk about the game on Saturday. Obviously, they finished ninth last season. They brought in Stephen Taylor, which quite a few people will know from his time at Newcastle over in the EPL. Mitch Nichols, great to see him back. David Williams, some bloke from Legia Warsaw. Philip Curto from Rota JC. So, yeah, they haven't really brought in heaps of players, but they have lost quite a few. But I think their main issue last season was their coach, completely the wrong person, knew nothing about the league, couldn't adjust, and that was where all of their problems last year stemmed from. I think even if they'd have just got a coach, bringing in Mark Rudan is bringing in a coach that's going to provide some stability. Even though he's a first-year coach, he's going to be a lot more stable and he knows the league. a lot more than some bloke from Eastern Europe is going to do. They have lost, like, they've lost Rydenton, one of their better players. Joel, what do you think? What do you think our chance? They're going to look to be strong at home. Their away games, they're obviously going to struggle with the travel, but we've traditionally struggled over in Wellington anyway. So they're going to be looking to be strong in defence, and obviously bringing in an ex-Premier League defender is going to help a lot with that. And listening to some of the interviews he's done, he's a very stable sort of bloke, speaks really well, very experienced, and is passing that information on to the rest of the players around him. He's going to be the linchpin of their defence, and he's going to be looking to make sure that Phoenix are very difficult to beat at home. They're going to be back to the early days of Phoenix where we really struggled to break them down. Mm.
It's a really difficult place to play at the Cake Tin in windy Wellington. And to be honest, I think most travelling teams to Wellington make Wellington look good, because they're not actually the greatest team, but they're just so difficult to play against in those conditions at home, and when all the away teams have had to travel. But yeah, their performance when they're away tends to be worse than how good they are at home. So I don't have any hope for them. We've seen what it's like with first-time coaches, with Scott Miller and with Mark Jones. It's really hard. They don't have the experience and the confidence to know that they can go through 27 games and keep the team buoyant and hold the dressing room, because they haven't done it before under the spotlight of that A-League level. So, how many first-time coaches are there this season? I mean, obviously Mulvey's coached before.
Corica's
a first time. Wellington's Rudan. A first time.
Yeah, Corica, Rudan, and Babel from Wanderers.
Yeah, although he's coached, hasn't he?
Coached? Yeah, he's coached. He's coached at a higher level than the A-League. But yeah,
Yeah, I don't hold much hope for Wellington. But Ernie Merrick was saying yesterday at the corporate launch that he thinks it's good that there's a New Zealand team in the A-League. He thinks it's a good thing for diversity. But he knows all too well how difficult it is to coach over there.
Luke, what are you holding out any hope for Wellington this season, and specifically this game? Obviously, we're a lot more settled. We've got more players and more experienced players to choose from. So is Saturday's game Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday's game fait accompli, or are we going to be in for a big challenge?
I think it'll be a challenge, given that it is Rudan's first game. I think and it is in Wellington and everything. I think the team's going to want to come out and perform really well and get a winning start under Rudan. So, regardless of what their squad is actually like, regardless of how they went last year or how we went last year, it's going to be tough. I mean, we lost to Wellington last year in Newcastle, so you definitely can't take them.
Crap.
Yeah, you can't take anything lightly.
What about you, Em? What are you looking for from Sunday's game from our side of things? You're just wanting us to be steady, calm, score goals.
Yeah, I was going to say goals again. Very, very insightful. I know it's what I'm here for. I think seeing that we can, you know, taking Wellington first, I think is not so bad in terms of getting that travel out of the way. You know, it's a pretty rough trip. So I think proving that the team can travel well, I think is important for this first game. And yeah, I'm not sure if you could call that traveling well, though, because they, you know, you could definitely see when they got back that they were paying for that trip. So but I think it's good get Wellington over with, and then we don't have to do it again for quite a long time. Just looking for that cohesion out of the team. Even if we don't get all the goals I want to see in this first game, if we can get a good view of the teamwork, I think that's going to bode well for the rest of the season.
Dave, just a final point before we predict what the score's going to be. It's been interesting, and I mentioned it in the chat with Ernie, that we haven't really seen alternatives to Roy in the preseason games. A lot of the preseason games have been playing with Roy at the front, as opposed to trialing other players to see what's going to happen when he's not there, for eight games. But he, and everyone will have listened to his response to that, so obviously that's already been dealt with. So What are you hoping to see with that in mind from the game on Sunday? Are you thinking Hoffman up front? Are you thinking Chuck Jair in and see how he goes?
No.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking at Austin, Dimmy and Vargas being the players behind Hoffman up top. I think Jair will get a game. We'll get a game. He'll come on. Oh, look, they'll give him 30, 25, something like that. And I think that I'm looking for a much better, brighter, energetic performance than we saw against Melbourne City in the FFA Cup game. That was just, they were lethargic and like they were running around with concrete in their boots. My score prediction for the game is that the Jets will get up. Look, I think a comfortable 2-3-0 win.
Joel, prediction?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I don't know if Hoff will start or whatever, but I just know that Ernie seems to really like, don't forget, Angus Thurgate. Is that his name? Angus?
Don't forget him. Is that his name?
No, Ernie seems to like him.
Yeah, good. He's away with the young Socceroos, isn't he? So he won't be there.
He won't be
there for the first few games, I don't think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether he does throw Hoff up. But I think there's Shepherd, there's Austin, there's Jair. But really keen to see Jair. But I think a 2-2 draw.
Pete,
I'm just
going to
go with a nice simple 2-1.
Luke, 3-1. I'd just be hopeful for a nice regulation 2-0. 2-0 will do me nicely. You gave your prediction, Dave?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
2-3-0.
All right. We'll start to wrap it up there. Dave, we've obviously got some fantasy and hopefully some other things going on this season. What have we got on the drawing board?
Look, we've got the fantasy competition for the EPL going on, but we've also now started one for the A-League. If people want to join, it's not too late. There's still a number of spots in a head-to-head league. You can jump on to our Facebook. And all the login codes is on the Fox Sports website, so the login codes are there. We have the head-to-head, as I mentioned, but we've also just got a standard league where you get your points each week. Got to give a shout-out to Wilso off the forum, the Newcastle Football.net forum, who won last year's competition. A little bit dirty that we didn't give him the shout-out. So, mate, here's your shout-out.
We'll put that in Mitch's lap, considering he's the one that launches all these things and then conveniently walks back from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Anyway, so if people do want to join, there is, look, it's free to join. There's nothing there. It's just for the fun of it. So jump onto our website and find it out.
How far down the Facebook page are they going to have to scroll before they get to the codes?
I'll post them again.
We'll repost them so that people can...
That's a subtle hint.
Yeah, okay, no problems. If you haven't checked out already, obviously if you get the episodes via subscription, you'll have got them already. But if you haven't, please check out all the preview pods that Dave did with the Opposition Fans podcasts. They're all the other teams are there, with the exception, like we said, to date. We are recording this the previous weekend, so we are about to talk to Phoenix next week, and we're hoping to line someone up from the Mariners. Well, hopefully that will be done, and we'll have all nine
Socceroos
teams.
When's that? Q8 Socceroos tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow.
By the time this podcast comes out,
it will be
history.
Yeah, so, well.
Hopefully we'll be celebrating a nice win.
Robbie Cruz brace.
Oh, God. Yes, it'll be interesting to see what the Arnold era is any different to the old Arnold era. So, anyway, we won't go too much into that. Well, that's pretty much it, guys. Get on to the Foxtel and check out the game, because that's the only way you're going to be able to watch it. It's not on free-to-air. So check that game out Sunday. Do we have the date? What time is it? 5 o'clock. All right, 5 o'clock on Sunday. 3 o'clock. Five over at the end. So you got your time zones mixed up, Dave. You're going to have to get that sorted out before we make the Jetstream trip over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So thanks very much for listening, guys. Thanks to everybody here for jumping on. We're all going to go and walk off our meat sweats now. So thanks very much for joining us. Good luck for the season. And we'll be back to review the game against the Wellington Phoenix next week.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Forza El Jerkles.
Wham, bam, Benjamin!